tried to think unobstructive thoughts, stayed low, and went to Irwin. He still looked awful, but he was breathing hard and steady, and he'd already begun blinking and trying to focus his eyes. "Irwin!" I shouted. "Irwin, where's her purse?"
"What's that?" Irwin mumbled.
"Connie's purse! I've got to help Connie! Where's her purse?" Irwin's eyes almost focused.
"Connie?"
"Oh, never mind." I started ransacking the dorm room until I found Connie's handbag. She had a brush in it. The brush was liberally festooned with her blonde hairs. I swept a circle into the dust on the floor, tied the hair around my pentacle amulet, and invested the circle with a whisper of will. Then I quickly worked the tracking spell that was generally my bread and butter when I was doing investigator stuff. When I released the magic, it rushed down into Connie's borrowed hair, and my amulet lurched sharply out of plumb and held itself steady at a 30 or 40 degree angle. Connie went that-a-way. I ducked a flying ghoul, leapt over a dying ghoul, and staggered down the hall at my best speed while the blood went back into my feet. I had gone down one whole flight of stairs without falling when the angle on the amulet changed again. Barrowwill had gone down one floor, then taken off down one of the residential hallways toward the fire escape at the far end. He'd bypassed security by ripping the door off its hinges, then flinging it into the opposite wall. Kids were scattering out of the hallway, looking either horrified or disappointed. Some both. Barrowwill had reached the far end, carrying his daughter over one shoulder, and was headed for the fire door. Barrowwill had been savvy enough to divest me of my accoutrements, but I was still a wizard, dammit, blasting rod or no. I drew up my will, aimed low, and snarled, "Forsari!" Pure kinetic force lashed invisibly through the air and caught Barrowwill at the ankles. It kicked both of his feet up into the air, and he took a pratfall onto the floor. Connie landed with a grunt and bounced to one side. She lay there dazed and blinking. Barrowwill slithered back up to his feet, spinning toward me, and produced a pistol in one hand. I lurched back out of the line of fire as the gun barked twice and bullets went by me with a double hiss. I went to my knees and bobbed my head out into the hall again for a quick peek, jerking it back immediately. Barrowwill was picking Connie up. His bullet went through the air where my head would have been if I'd been standing.
"Don't be a moron, Harry," I said. "You came for the kid. He's safe. That's all you were obligated to do. Let it Oh, who am I kidding? There's a girl."
I didn't have to beat the vampire. I just had to slow him down long enough for River's shoulders to catch up to him, assuming River did pursue. I took note of which wing Barrowwill was fleeing through and rushed down the stairs to the ground level. Then I left the building and sprinted to the far end of that wing. Barrowwill slammed the emergency exit open and emerged from the building. He was moving fast, but he also had his daughter to carry, and she'd begun to resist him, kicking and thrashing, slowing him down. She tugged him off balance just as he shot at me again, and it went wide. I slashed at him with another surge of force, but this time I wasn't aiming for his feet. I went for the gun. The weapon leapt out of his hands and went spinning away, shattering against the bricks of the dorm's outer wall. Another blast knocked Connie off his shoulder, and she let out a little shriek. Barrowwill staggered, then let out a snarl of frustration and charged me at a speed worthy of the Flash's understudy. I flung more force at him, but Barrowwill bobbed to one side, evading the blast. I threw myself away from the vampire and managed to roll with the punch he sent at my head. He caught me an inch or two over one eyebrow, the hardest and most impact-resistant portion of the human skull. That, and the fact that I'd managed to rob it of a little of its power, meant that he only sent me spinning wildly away, my vision completely obscured by pain and little silver stars. He was furious, his power rolling over me like a sudden deluge of ice water, to the point where crystals of frost formed on my clothing. Barrowwill followed up, his eyes murderous, and then Bigfoot Irwin bellowed, "Connie!" and slammed into Barrowwill at the hip, using his body as a living spear. Barrowwill was flung to one side, and Irwin pressed his advantage. still screaming, coming down atop the vampire and pounding him with both fists in elemental violence, his sunken eyes mad with rage.
Connie! Connie!
I tried to rise, but couldn't seem to make it past one knee. So all I could do was watch as the furious scion of River Shoulders unleashed everything he had on a ranking noble of the White Court. Barrowill could have been much stronger than a human being if he'd had the gas in the tank, but he'd spent his energy on his psychic assault, and it had drained him. He still thrashed powerfully, but he was no match for the enraged young man. Erwin slammed Barrowill's nose flat against his face. I saw one of the vampire's teeth go flying into the night air. Slightly too pale blood began to splash against Erwin's fists. Christ, if the kid killed Barrowill, the White Court would consider it an act of war. All kinds of horrible things could unfold.
Erwin, I shouted. Erwin, stop!
Kid Bigfoot didn't listen to me. I lurched closer to him, but only made it about 6 inches before my head whirled so badly that I fell onto my side.
Erwin, stop!
I looked around and saw Connie staring dazedly at the struggle.
Connie, I said, stop him! Stop him!
Meanwhile, Erwin had beaten Barrowill to within an inch of his life, and now he raised his joined hands over his head, preparing for a sledgehammer blow to Barrowill's skull. A pretty, small hand touched his wrist.
Erwin, Connie said gently. Erwin? No.
He tried, Erwin panted. Tried hurt you. This isn't the way, Connie said.
Bad man, Erwin growled.
But you aren't, Connie said, her voice very soft. Erwin, he's still my daddy.
Connie couldn't have physically stopped Erwin, but she didn't need to. The kid blinked several times, then looked at her. He slowly lowered his hands, and Connie leaned down to kiss his forehead gently.
Shh, she said. Shh, I'm still here. It's over, baby. It's over.
Connie, Erwin said and leaned against her. I let out a huge sigh of relief and sank back onto the ground. My head hurt. Officer Dean stared at me for a while. He chewed on a toothpick and squinted at me. Got some holes.
Yeah,
I asked.
Like what?
Like all those kids saw Bigfoot and them whatchamacallits, ghouls. How come they didn't say anything? You walked in on them while they were all still trying to put their clothes back on, after flinging themselves into random sex with whoever happened to be close to them. They're all denying that this ever happened right now. Dean said. What about the ghoul corpses? After Erwin dragged their boss up to the fight, the ghouls quit when they saw him. River Shoulders told them all to get out of his sight and take their dead with them. They did. Dean squinted and consulted a list. Pounda is gone, so is Connie Barrowill. Not officially missing or nothing, not yet. But where are they? I looked at Dean and shrugged.